Siri, what's happening at Perfection Auto Works this week?
You have 7 new clients, 2 oil changes, a major service, and 3 drivability problems, and an engine rebuild. And I have a question for you. My BMW is running rough. Can you fix it?
You have a BMW?
Not really, but even a disembodied computer voice can fantasize about a car that runs right.
You don't have to fantasize about your car running right. Just take it to Perfection Auto Works. We specialize in all cars, foreign and domestic, from belts, hoses, brakes, tires, air conditioning diagnosis, the whole enchilada. 323-8650. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
The following program is paid for by Computer Doctor of Tucson. The views are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
High schools are installing video games in their gym. GitHub starts blocking malicious code. The CISA releases best practices to fight malware. And the $20 billion and $100 billion the government is investing in cybersecurity. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson and the podcast world. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for ransomware, blockchain, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 47. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments, questions, and even complaints that we can answer. With me today is Joe. He's actually with Involta here in Tucson, and we also have a special guest. Hopefully Colin Boyce will be calling in a little bit later on the show. And we also want to welcome our new trusted sponsor for the Computer Doctor Show. That is Perfection Auto Works. And I've actually had my car serviced there myself, and I've seen their operation. They do a very fantastic, very meticulous inspection. They really know what they're doing there at the Perfection Auto Works location. And we're very happy to have them as a partner. So welcome aboard. We have a great show for you today, starting with some of the tech news that's happening in the world this week. This coming fall, some high schools in the United States will be able to participate in esports thanks to Nintendo's partnership with a company called PlayVS. And what do you think, Joe? Do you think that the kids are going to like going to school when they can go to school to play video games?
I think they're going to love it, Aaron. It's just, who wouldn't love playing Pac-Man? Oh, showing my age.
Now, the idea is that these video games, they're designed, if you've ever seen, now, by the way, some of these video games, they are called Splatoon and also Smash Brothers Ultimate. And these can be very, very team-building games and team-building exercise type games. There's also a lot of skill where you and somebody else are going up against, you know, some sort of challenge, and you have to work together in order to win this challenge, you know. So that's the idea. And if, you know, I can only think of it because, you know, when I was in grade school, you know, only the good kids that were like very, very good in class, they got dismissed to go out and play, you know? So you had to like sit there and be like extra good, extra quiet. And then the teacher would point you out. Yeah, you can go and play. You know, it's almost like an incentive for the kids to actually do well in school now, because those kids are the ones that will probably get to be involved in this video games at school. And I don't know if any of this is going to be affected in any of the Tucson schools, But this was just a general announcement that it's actually starting this fall. And now the subject, you know how you get your report card. You have math, science, social studies, you know, we call them language arts or, you know, history or whenever, you know, or whatever. So do you know what they're going to call this subject?
I don't.
Athletics. So it's going to replace your gym, your gymnastics. So any physical activity type period that you would have in school, this could be the replacement for it.
That's great.
So I don't know if you still have to put on your gym shirt, shorts, and or your gym shirt, or wear the school colors or what have you.
Well, I do know that the U of A is starting the esports program. So maybe the kids in the high schools and the grade schools can look forward to being scouted and be at the University of Arizona on a full scholarship.
It could be. Maybe they can just compete on within the game. Because they're all team efforts. Now, this is actually nothing new, because if you go back maybe just a couple – actually, this is – there are actually people in Asia and in Japan and also in South Korea where people have professional careers playing this fantasy football, you know, and there's actually a team and players, and the players are holding joysticks, but the players are football players inside the game. That's and awesome. There's actually a coach that's behind him and says, okay, rush, you know, he's coaching them as they're playing the game, you know, and it's kind of like that. And there is an audience that's watching this and they're just fascinated by it. And they sell tickets to this event. That's how they're able to make it a professional career of playing video games. So that might be the future of our education. How about that?
I think it's great.
There's also the popular collaboration open source software called GitHub. If you are a collaborator or someone that does a lot of coding with other people where you're putting together any type of programming or any project that requires a lot of sending and receiving of documents, almost like you would like a cloud, almost like a Google Word or like a Google spreadsheet or something. You can save it on the cloud. Somebody else can see it. Somebody else can edit it. And basically, it's the same file that's just being changed many times. So if you think about it like that, but you add one more feature in, GitHub lets you go all the way back and look at all of the revisions. You can actually go all the way back till the document was nothing. And you can actually see all of the revisions. And if there's something that was wrong, you can actually go back in time, see where it was wrong, and then backdate it back to that time and then continue from that correct location.
Wow.
So now lots of developers and coders use GitHub as a collaboration tool. But the reason why we're bringing this up into the show today is because GitHub has added a security feature that removes exploit code. Smart. So there are some codes that hackers like to use that can exploit vulnerabilities in other systems. So what they've done is this is similar to what antivirus programs do with files on your computer. So you could actually install an antivirus on your computer, or it could be Windows Defender. And as long as it's updated, it'll have the latest patches and what the latest trends of security are. And it will look for vulnerabilities of that nature in all of the files on your computer. But what the nice thing about GitHub getting involved with it is they kind of snap it, they kind of cut it out like right at the time that it's being written. And right. I don't know exactly how it goes away. Maybe it just errors out, or it allows the person to think, because depending on how fast it is, you know, sometimes a slow response is actually good. You can submit something that you're trying to do that's bad, but you don't know if it'll be accepted for like 2 weeks later. You know, that right. That could be a good caveat to slowing down a lot of threats, okay? There's all kinds of threats going around the country. But the speed at which things get done can make a really, really big, can make a huge difference on the outcome. I hope more companies are able to find security threats earlier in the process, perhaps even at the switch level or even the router level, which some routers are able to do, or firewalls are able to do. Anything that you can do to stop it from actually reaching the end user account, you know.
One of the biggest things that our security team, we have two SOCs at Involta, and one of the biggest things we do is we look at code. We look for that code that maybe got left out and left open to make their environment more secure in places like AWS, Google, Azure, our Involta private cloud. But GitHub, I mean, it sounds brilliant to me. It's like Wikipedia on steroids for coders. So there was a lot of talk, Aaron, about artificial intelligence taking over coders' roles to be more secure. But the reality of it is it's still a human that does the artificial intelligence code. So
whenever you add the human element into things, that kind of messes everything up, you know. Computers are great if you set it just right and then leave it alone. It's only when somebody goes in there afterwards that thinks that they can make it a little bit better, and then they, instead of making it a little bit better, they make it a whole lot worse.
I'll give you an example. My son wanted to update one of his software applications on his computer. I said, don't do it, Peter. It's working. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
One of the nice examples that I like to tell people about is when Microsoft put that entire data center underwater. They put it in this big metal capsule, put it under the ocean, okay? And it was one of the best running data centers out there because nobody can get in there and mess with it.
Right.
That, you know, it was just there and was left alone. When you leave it alone and it's working, you know, if it ain't broke, you know, don't fix
unless
it.
unless there's an alert saying upgrade software, don't upgrade it.
There you go. Also, the CISA stands for the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Administration, I believe. Yeah, they are a government agency for cybersecurity. They released a list of best practices to reduce a ransomware attack. Some of these tips will sound familiar. Number one, require multi-factor authentication. Okay, enable strong spam filters to prevent phishing emails from reaching end users. Number three, implement a user training program and simulated attacks. So this is where you have you can have an office of users, but there's also training that has to go along with it. A lot of people feel that you just put in this magical software, you know, and it's just supposed to take all of your security concerns away because it's in there and it's running. Not really. The user has some training to do, and that's where a lot of that's where the system becomes broken, the training part. You know, you can have the best security system in the world, but if the user is not trained on how to properly use it, and when a real threat comes up, pops up on the screen, they have to know how to handle that and what to do. You know, and that's where a lot of things get broke.
I thought number one would be don't turn the computer on.
Or stay offline.
Or stay offline.
Either one of those. Some of the other tips included update software, including operating systems, applications, and firmware on IT network assets in a timely manner. Also, limit the access of resources over networks, especially by restricting RDP. So RDP is a remote desktop protocol that allows you to connect visually and see the desktop of other computers that are in network. Now, when you're accessing it from one computer, the RDP has to be programmed in such a way that you can give it certain access, both egress, degress or egress?
Egress and ingress?
Ingress and egress. So ingress is stuff coming in, and egress is stuff going out. So you have to be able to turn on and off some of these privileges according to what you're using it for. And if you don't do it correctly, you'll end up with a system that's just open where anything can come in and anything can go out. So we have to be very careful of that. So a lot of these tips, they sound a lot like the same tips that we would have had to talk about even in the regular antivirus world.
Right.
Same thing applies to ransomware. Well, up next on the Computer Doctor Show, we're going to go over some tech anniversaries and, as time allows, online protection 101. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show, KVOI 1030 Tucson. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Come on, man. Alexa, fix my car.
I don't do cars. Take it to Perfection Auto Works.
All right, give me Siri.
Why didn't you listen to Alexa? Perfection Auto Works has been wrenching cars, not wallets, since 1994. Go look at their shop. There are cars lined up around the block. What do their owners know that you don't? I am taking you right now to PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Yeah, what Siri said. This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works. We do brakes, oil, tires, alignment, general maintenance, major services, and vehicle restorations, all cars, foreign and domestic. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or PerfectionAutoWorks.com. The world's best auto repair shop.
Mike, don't let being best give you a swell head.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for ransomware, blockchain, and cutting-edge technology talk. In studio today, Joe Wells with Involta, and here are some tech anniversaries and science anniversaries that happened this week or upcoming the next couple of days. June 2nd, 1883, this was in baseball. This was the first baseball game that was played under electric lights. That was 138 years ago on June 2nd, 1883. And it's funny, you know, they called it electric lights. So I was just thinking, you know, if you were around 300 years ago and somebody asked you, can you bring me a light? What would they do? They'd bring you some sort of candle or some sort of, right, some sort of lantern that had, you know, some fire, right, inside of it, you know. But nowadays you tell people, can you bring me a light? You get a light bulb, you know. So they had to specify, I need a lantern or I need an electric light, you know. So that happened in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So 138 years with playing baseball with electric lights. Also on June 3rd, 1965, Edward White becomes the first American to walk in space. And he didn't walk on the moon. That was somebody else.
I saw that in the news this past week. That was interesting.
And the way he walked was on, so he exited Gemini 4, which is a spacecraft. And I didn't catch where exactly he walked, but I do know that he was the first one to actually do walking. I just thought about, you know, he would have...
Floating. It should be called floating, shouldn't it?
Floating, or maybe just outside of a spacecraft. I don't know if you can actually walk...
No.
With no gravity. You can't really walk.
Gliding. Maybe gliding.
But anyway, he was the first. It was 50.
Space glide.
Space glide. All right. And that was 56 years ago. In this next portion for the rest of the show today, I thought I would go over. There was a executive order from the President of the United States. President Biden announced last month about a $20 billion money that is to be released for the purposes of redoing the infrastructure and reforming internet's structure of, you know, within the United States and with within the very all the governments. We keep seeing, like, every morning when you turn on the news, you're hearing of all of these different departments being attacked. Okay, we had, you know, there was Colonial Pipeline, then there was the meat. You know, if we go back to the SolarWinds attacks, you know, that affected so many, that have actually affected the Department of Defense and other places. So with all these things happening more intense and more frequent, okay, that's what this money is supposed to be for. So what do you think, Joe? Is that enough? Is that enough money to really?
It's more than a billion. It seems like a billion is a popular number in Washington, so that's good. I think it's great. The infrastructure in the United States, you know, a lot of people that even live in Tucson listening to this today don't realize that, you know, 90% of America is not city of Tucson. 90% of America is rural America. So to have infrastructure, you were talking about esports earlier, there's no reason today, just like every American could get a newspaper 10 years ago, there's no reason somebody in some town shouldn't have access to internet and broadband, allowing them to improve their skills with online. There's online coding courses, there are online security courses right now, the cybersecurity. There's 3 million unpaid or unfilled jobs. I guess unpaid would be a word too, but there are courses out there, even in Pima Community College. Lee Lambert talks about them all the time. You can become a security professional. Mm-hmm. You can learn it online, and starting wage is about $107,000 per year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but without infrastructure, the kids would have to travel to college. They would have to pay for housing. They would have to pay for meals. Not every kid in America can afford that.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with the $100 billion that was also part of this executive order. And that was to, in an effort to make broadband nationwide, so that every single household will have a broadband connection. We were hoping that Conan Boyce was going to call in, because he is actually the Chief Information Technology Officer for the City of Tucson, and he's also the he oversees the community wireless program here that gives broadband internet to Tucson residents for free. I said for free. Okay, free internet. But you have to, it's very, very limited right now. It's something that's being built on, and you have to be very, very, you have to be living at the right location on, like, the right blocks right here in Tucson, because they're still putting up 4G towers that actually drives this. So I wish that he would that he was going to call in.
It was a bold move that he made. You know, a lot of people, there's always a talk about public-private partnership with government entities and private entities that provide internet. Colin did a bold move in a time that needed to be done. He delivered internet to households that needed the internet. At, you know, tribal nations like Pascua Yaqui in our backyard, they had over 700 houses with some of the government money that was installed, were able to install internet with some of that money within the span of a month. So I think getting internet and broadband to the houses are great. I think as far as cybersecurity, what you're really wanting to talk about, I think at this point it's smart for the government to start putting some guardrails in place to make sure that the pipes that are carrying the internet are secure and that they're being monitored, because.
And I just want to mention this as we start to wrap up the show, but one of the main things in the executive order, if you ever go to the whitehouse.gov, you can see this order directly. And a lot of what the order involves is communication between entities. We were talking about, you know, the word, government loves the word billion, right?
Right.
So it's funny that something else that they also are known for is that one department has no way of communicating with this department, and so many things are, the ball is dropped on so many things. So I think what the president is trying to do, he's trying to reconnect and open up a communication field of communication where people can actually come in and actually share cyber secrets or cyber things with each other. But that's just one of those things where we say, hey, the check is in the mail, but we don't know if it actually gets there.
I think it'll get there. I think people in America today really want it to get there.
All right. Well, tune in for some of the upcoming weeks as we have more guests about ransomware, blockchain, and other technology talk subjects. My name's Aaron Moss, your host. Tom Fairbanks is the board operator. We want to thank Joe for being here with us today. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday right here at this station